Hey there. Welcome to Spirit Posse, a spiritual podcast where four good friends get together to drink wine and also talk about all things spiritual, because that is where the magic happens. We share a collective belief that there is a higher power that connects, guides, and truly supports us. We bring our most recent spiritual discoveries and our life experiences to the table. Then we sit down, we let things flow, and we just see where the universe takes us, because we know that there's more out there. We hope that this friendly and open-minded exploration will speak to you as you experience your own spiritual journey and awakening. We are the Spirit Posse, Kim, Carrie, Jennifer, and Monique.
Hello, here we are again, the Spirit Posse. I am Carrie, and we have Monique and Jennifer and Kim tonight. We have our foursome, and
I know we missed you last time, Monique.
Yes, we did miss you.
Thank you. I missed you guys too.
Yeah, you were always with us in spirit, but yes, we missed your beautiful voice and insights for sure. For sure. So tonight we are going to talk about ego. And ego versus your higher self, your, you know, inner being, your divine power, however you refer to that almost magical, intuitive, wise voice within you that we all have. So I have just written a couple notes to get us started, but I thought it would be really fun to explore ego and what it is. And
yeah, because a lot of people think of ego, you know, in the terms of sort of layman psychology, ego.
Right.
Right. Rather than what we've studied spiritually through Eckhart Tolle and, you know, a lot of other people, Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So to get us started, I have been studying and reading and meditating and journaling around a book by Sonia Choquette. It's called Trust Your Vibes, and it has been really inspirational for me. But one of the things that she talks about, and the whole book is basically, as you listen to your vibes and become more intuitive, you are taming your ego. So it's really, the entire book focuses on that. But just to kick us off, the goal in her teaching is to leave ego-driven space of your head and move into the spirit-driven space of your heart. And it's a significant shift. And the other thing, just to set us up, that I thought was really wise is she talks about how you don't think vibration and your soul doesn't necessarily think, but you feel. I don't know.
It sounds very daunting. It sounds really hard. But actually, I heard Sonia Choquette talk, and she's so light and lovely, and she makes it all sound so accessible.
Yeah.
Right? Which is really great. I really like her that way.
Mm-hmm.
But
I do, too.
But it's not easy.
No.
But can you repeat the last thing you said, Carrie?
You know, vibes are another way to talk about, like, intuition. And you don't... It's not cerebral, right? You don't have to study vibration and learn the three steps to getting a higher vibration and being more intuitive.
Right.
It's a feeling, and it's a trust, and it's a lightheartedness. It's that's where the magic is. It's in your heart.
Yeah. I like how she says that.
So does anybody else have just thoughts on, you know, maybe we can start with the ego. Like, what is ego to you, and how do you define it, and how does it help, and how do you tame your ego or train your ego?
Who wants to start?
I'll start. For me, ego is kind of that voice in my head that is constantly chattering at me. And it's really hard to get that to stop.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think, you know, as we've talked about through all these podcasts, meditation and setting intentions and just being with yourself is so important to try and calm that. But it's as you said, it's kind of a daunting task.
Yeah.
So hard to do. And so for me, you know, I try and recognize what that voice is and try and, as best I can, just make a mantra in my mind of, okay, you know, think of different things, try and just be calm, try and just calm that voice, and just try and be one with myself and listen to more of my intuition. Again, super hard to do, but I will say that there are definitely, and there have been, not in my young life, but as I've gotten older, moments where I feel like I've gotten some of that clarity with just things that come to me that aren't ego, that are more like, wait a minute, there's something more for you. There's something more that you need to explore or do. Like, I feel like I've gotten a sense of that bigger picture of trying to get away from that ego. And it's, again, hard to do, but I try and really focus in on those other aspects and try and separate that from that constant chattering.
Thank you for that description, because it's something we all have to kind of listen to and decipher all the time. But I have a question for you. So when you hear the voices, how do you discern from ego and spirit or higher self? You know, when you were talking about...
Good question.
Yeah, that is a great question. And I, honestly, I feel like I can. I feel like when it's the ego, and it's a lot of the ego, to for me, is a lot of negative self-talk.
Talk it smack.
What is it saying to you, Monique? I mean, I know it's saying a million different things.
But
it's never nice
it's
or
not
fun.
Nice.
Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah. It's like what I've done sucks. Wrong, what I should be doing better.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I'm not who I should be. I'm not doing the things I should be doing. I am, you know, just it's the negative self-chatter. And and so when I get the clarity of, I think, more of spirit, I feel like, you know, that, that's a great message. And that's super interesting. I mean, I feel like I definitely can tell the difference. Unfortunately, ego is the more predominant thing. And so, and I'll say, I feel like if I spent more time doing the meditation, and I do meditate, but I feel like that really helps a lot, is just kind of getting into that space where you breathe more and you calm yourself and you let that more of that spirit and that soul come through your higher self. And that's key. Otherwise, the day-to-day mundane, to me, that's when ego comes in and is, you know, chattering.
Don't you wonder why we have to have ego?
I do.
I totally
I mean,
wonder
why
we do.
It's just such a bummer.
It is, because it's critical and
it's critical.
Controlling and it doesn't laugh. Well, ego does not have a sense of humor.
No, and it also compares us to other people.
Yes.
And, you know, they say comparison is the killer of joy.
Yeah,
right. You know, like, I'm fatter than she is. I don't make as much money as they do. I, you know, my kids aren't as well behaved, whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. So what would
Such
be, you know, like, in the spirit of trying to look on the bright side of everything, like, what is the functional role of the ego and how does it help us? I don't know that I have an answer. I'm just trying to think of one thing that I always say is you know, you got to have contrast to really appreciate spirit. Maybe you need ego. And maybe is ego like part of what kept us safe? Like, you know, the fight or flight thing? Like, is that part of ego? I don't know.
It's a great, great question.
Well, I think as spirits, we came down into this body because we had things to learn.
Right.
Right. Okay. We know that. And the ego pushes us. It's like the veil, right? It's the it's the other side of the veil from the good stuff. And it's really, I don't understand why we have it, but it certainly gives us our opportunity for lessons. Like, you know, many of us who grew up in religious backgrounds thought, you know, we go to hell if we do bad things, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, and what I've read is hell has many mansions. And we
heard it here first.
and those mansions are here on Earth, and that we are pushing ourselves, you know, to get through them and to understand them and to rise above them. And one thing that I read while I was thinking about this week was back to A Return to Love, which is that book that I've loved for a million years. And it's an analysis of The Course in Miracles. And it said that this is really this could be a real stretch, but I'm just laying it out there for you. You let me know what you think.
I'll have a sip of wine in here.
Fairy tales tell the story of ego and spirit, which is not what I thought, but that, like, think of like the wicked stepmother in Cinderella or in Snow White is like the ego.
That's true.
This awful ego. And then the spirit is like the prince that comes and wakes you up or whatever. I thought there was more of like a anti-feminist issue with the man needing to save the woman. And like, this is terrible, these fairy tales. But if you look at it that way, it's kind of interesting. I just read that last week and thought, well, that's an interesting way to look at it.
But I think that...
Isn't that funny?
I can see how that could make sense. And I also agree with you. When I think about, for me, what the ego helps with... is I truly believe that I was sent for this lifetime to learn certain lessons. And my ego shows me what those lessons are. I mean, everything that I'm fearful of, everything I have resistance to, I know are the lessons that I have to overcome, right? And so if I had already overcome them, and I were enlightened,
you probably wouldn't be here.
Ego, and I'd already be a spirit guide sitting in the corner helping you guys. No, but I feel like that's why I feel we have it.
But I also, based on what you're saying, because one of the things I thought about too is you talk about coming here to learn lessons, which is what I think is for every human being on this planet.
Yeah.
And I wonder sometimes if trying to tune out the ego and see a bigger spiritual picture is part of the lesson, if that makes sense.
I think so.
I think
overcoming
that challenge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the ego for sure points out things that we need to improve upon or some of the negative things, but it can be kind of harsh too. And, and so, so part of me is like, okay, you know, take what you need to from that, but don't feel like you're a bad person because your mind is telling you these negative things. Maybe part of our lesson is, okay, try and tune that out and look at the bigger, you know, spiritual picture.
And you said that you're acknowledging it when you hear those negative thoughts. And that's the first step.
That's the biggest thing.
Because remember, we're supposed to always remember that we are not our thoughts.
Right. And that's really hard.
So step back and realize, okay, that's a bad thought.
That is not
me. And it's just a thought. And it's just a thought.
Well, and we have to replace it with something else.
Right.
Because whenever we try to remove something and release it, right, we create a vacuum, and then you want to fill that vacuum is like the law of physics. Remember, we've talked about Mel Robbins, right? That
she's fantastic.
So she has a little skit that she does that my friend Sarah told me about where she says, you know, you go in front of the mirror, you wake up in the morning, you're looking in the mirror, you're brushing your teeth, you got stinky breath, your hair's sticking up, you're thinking, look at those wrinkles. I've got one boob higher than the other. You know, just a disaster. And she said, you have to say, I love you. You're awesome.
Well, there's truth to that. For sure.
There is truth to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you guys, because I think we all agree that we came here to learn certain lessons, right? Mm-hmm. So going around the table, Jennifer, like if you...
Well, I'm just starting.
Are you putting me on the spot?
Excuse me. I was just talking to you. So that's why I kept turning that way. I mean, if someone said, name your top two, like why were you sent here? What are two top lessons you need to learn?
Oh my gosh.
I feel like you already know. What do you have the most resistance to?
I really don't know. My first thought was that we are all one. That we're a collective conscious, and that we're really not separate people, that we're all connected.
No, I'm saying, what are your lessons?
I think I'm supposed to be learning that. Oh, I feel like every day, all the time, I think about, you know, your ego tells you things that separate you from other people.
Gotcha.
And that's a big lesson that I feel like I'm trying to understand, that the guy in the street corner begging at the red light is the same person as me. We're all connected or whatever.
Yeah, interesting.
And that's a struggle for me, and I think that's something I have to I continue to learn that would be important for me to know.
Yeah. I love that answer. It's very, I mean, it's very raw and it's very true, and you're telling the truth. Because a lot of people wouldn't say that.
Because I could lie.
Because you could lie. You could just not bring it up.
Well, you put me on the spot. What am I supposed to love? I mean, we're all supposed to be learning to love. That's the bottom line.
That's true.
Of all of it.
Agree.
Yeah.
What? Why? Okay, now you can.
No, I've already gone through mine, like in past podcasts, but I was just curious. I never felt like I ever asked you guys that. I mean, maybe sometimes people aren't really sure, you know?
I think it evolves, actually. Oh, I think it evolves.
Yeah.
I think season for a reason. I think it definitely evolves. Right now, I'm really into, you know, speaking of ego and then spirit and higher self. And I think if you really, another way to think of spirit and higher self is intuition, because that's that voice, right? That intuition really is that magical part of you that's connected to all this wisdom and spiritual energy that is there for good. And so it's kind of interesting, like if you think about intuition. So that's sort of where I'm, I don't know if it's my mission in life, but that's my zone right now and what I've really been focusing on. And it's kind of cool. Like, let's say for a bunch of people that maybe don't consider themselves spiritual, but everybody has these very common phrases that I think refer to this unknown, even if they don't want to admit it, like gut feeling or gives us a chill or bad taste in your mouth or...
Oh, so true. Right.
You know what I mean? So people... It's there.
They're getting that sensation, right?
Yeah, it's there. And I think that's fascinating. And I do think you can train yourself to listen to it and get clearer messages and signs if you practice it. Like, just like going to the gym and, you know, trying to get those biceps pumped up so you can be stronger. I think you can exercise your higher self and your intuitive self to...
Well, isn't that what we're trying to do with meditation?
Absolutely.
And the idea that it's a practice, because you never really get really, really great at it. Maybe the Dalai Lama is, but I certainly am not. And I was in meditation for 20 minutes this morning, and I could not believe the dumb things that were coming into my head. And I was like, check. Wow, where did that come from?
But wait a minute,
I'm like, trying to be very gentle. Go away, like they say, tell it to blow away with the wind. Go down the river, this thought that just came into your mind about, what are you going to wear today?
Oh, that's so funny. Because, you know, maybe I'm like too hypersensitive to thoughts, because now I think that everything is like divinely planted into my brain. So I did this quick meditation, and I literally was like, okay, I need to, you know, call such and such for lunch because I think there's some connections that we need to make. And I need to, it was like.
Oh, when you were thinking those were like divine messages.
Yeah.
Like the breadcrumbs.
No, I've had that too. That is good. I think those come that way too.
Yeah. But I do also think of things that probably don't require divine intervention.
Do you know what I'm grateful for the four of us? Because I know we're all working on a lot of things. But I feel like we all can tell if we're hearing our ego or our higher self.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot, Miss Kim. Yeah. How can you tell which voice it is?
So I can tell if I'm angry, if I'm fearful, if I'm jealous, you know, irritated, being arrogant, being competitive, worrying. I mean, there's a million other things I could say, but they're all in the same spirit. That's my ego.
Okay, what's your spirit? How can you tell
that one? So if I have my vibration raised and I'm speaking through my higher self or in touch with my higher self or however you want to say it, in alignment, I typically would say in alignment, but I think it all means the same thing.
Right.
Then, first of all, what you were just describing is happening to me. I'm in the flow, you know, and and you're kind of experiencing serendipity, right?
Yep.
And things fall into place. And even if... you almost get hit by a car, you somehow think, well, I was supposed to almost get hit by a car to be grateful that I didn't get hit by the car. You know, you feel like everything's happening as it should.
Right.
And it's that quote I love. What would you have, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say and to whom? And it's sort of the breadcrumbs of what's the next step. And I know that feeling. Yeah. It's just...
Describe the feeling.
So the feeling, interestingly enough, I wrote down what the feeling is.
Oh, awesome.
Is, for me, it's numb. I was thinking about this when I was on vacation. Remember when I used to have the cell memory thing and I never knew what it was? And I think that's when I'm in alignment.
Can you say what cell memory is just for...
So, well, I've had like a bunch of things where I've been, say, having body work done on me or a past life regression or I can't remember all the different spiritual things I've done, but with teachers. And I would have this feeling in my body, in my arms, in my, it's my forearms and then my thighs, where it's like numb, like truly numb, and like as if I had 200 pounds like sitting on me or pressing on me. It's a pressure. But it's not a scary thing, and it's not, it doesn't hurt, but it feels unusual. And for the longest time, for like, what has it been, Jennifer? 15 years? Like I've been trying to, you know, trying to figure out what it is. And what I think is it's this feeling when I, the best way I can describe it is when I let go, but I turn inward. I like, I let go of every, all the chatter. I let go of all the worry and I breathe and I turn inward. Then there's like a cell thing that happens. Like a tingling or and like a numbness. And sometimes when I feel it, and don't be too impressed, it's not like I walk around feeling this all the time, but I can astral, you know, the astral projection where you can like, I can think, okay, I'm in my grandma's house and I can feel that I'm there, you know, and I can feel like what her couch felt like and the whole thing. And I think it's when you're really in alignment that happens to you. Or at least for me, but maybe everybody has, probably everybody has their own way of experiencing it.
I think everybody does have different experiences, but I think from everything you've shared, you really have a physical, visceral reaction to spirit. Like it, you're in the zone or vibration seems to affect you physically.
Haven't you guys ever had a thing, like even when I've been talking about it right now, I feel like my hands feel a little tingly. They don't feel warm, but sometimes, have you ever had that where you're doing something and your hands get hot?
Right.
That kind of, we've all had this, but different ways.
It even happens, hands start to tingle.
I haven't had it in meditation, but that's exactly, I think we all have our own reaction, right? Our own experience. But I think that's when we feel in alignment. And it's like you kind of forgot about everything else. If you guys ever woken up and you're like, wait a minute, now when I was going to bed, I was worried about something. What was that I was supposed to be worried about again? And you start the chatter again. But when you, when you're in alignment, like you don't care. You're like, okay,
well,
I'm not going to try
care, it's that you surrendered it.
You surrendered it,
right? And that's the whole thing. In fact, I just was reading The Power of Now also because I have read this ages ago.
I
actually have two copies if anybody wants one.
I have it on my Audible that I just keep clicking on
okay,
it.
It's because it's so good. But so, good. Eckhart Tolle is talking about how you overcome the ego is you that you just surrender to it. And he gives a good example and I can read you just for 1 minute. So let me illustrate how surrender can work in relationships. When you become involved in an argument or some conflict situation, perhaps with a partner or someone close to you, start by observing how defensive you become as your own position is attacked, or feel the force of your own aggression as you attack the other person's position. Observe, as you were saying, Monique, the attachment to your views and opinions, and feel the mental, emotional energy behind your need to be right and make the other person wrong. That's the energy of the ego mind.
100%.
You make it conscious by acknowledging it, by feeling it as fully as possible. Then one day in the middle of an argument, you will suddenly realize that you have a choice and you may decide to drop your own reaction just to see what happens. You surrender. I don't mean dropping the reaction just verbally, like saying, okay, you're right, with a look on your face that says, I'm above all this childish unconsciousness.
And I'm still right.
Right. That's just displacing the resistance to another level with the egoic mind still in charge, claiming superiority. I am speaking of letting go of the entire mental, emotional energy field inside you that was fighting for power. The ego is cunning, so you have to be very alert, very present, and totally honest with yourself to see whether you have truly relinquished your identification with a mental position and so freed yourself from your mind.
That's so hard right. to do. Okay. And I love that. I love it.
It's so good.
But I think about that and I'm like, yeah, there are times when I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the bigger person.
So. Right. You see what she said?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. The ego. I'm going to be the bigger person.
I'm going to be better than you.
But you're actually being drop, and I'm going to let you think you're right.
But
even
you're
though
not.
No, you're not.
And you're not giving up anything because that's still ego.
It is
being in charge.
That is so not how you are to us. Are you like that with your husband?
With my husband.
Yeah, because I was going to say with us, you'd be like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I don't really care. It's fine. Whatever you want to do."
No, it's when I.
No, but you play the game. Like, okay, fine. Fine.
Right, you play the but that's different than what he's saying, and what he's saying is awesome and amazing,
truly,
but
let it
really
go.
Hard to do.
So I have a question for you, and I'm just going to say this, and I hope my husband isn't listening, but I'm going to tell the truth. Steve and I have had a million years together, okay, and we have had some, you know, we've all had the knockdown dragout fight, so not physical, but we had that for a long time as we were younger. Yeah, yeah. So I'm not going to act like we haven't. And we also both have strong personalities, not necessarily with our friends, but with each other, you know, and there's nothing we ever thought that we didn't say. So that's another thing. But we have lately a couple times done, not exactly how he describes it, but where each of us in the middle of, I wouldn't say a fight, but a more evolved, as you get older, calmer disagreement, gone over and hugged each other. And I know it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. Because if you hug somebody, all of a sudden the other person's like, I'm so sorry. And then you're like, I'm sorry too. And then all of a sudden you both magically can see that half of it was your fault, half of it was his fault. But
right,
that moment before,
it usually takes two to tango.
You're like this. You know what I mean? Right. I know it's totally half and half.
Yeah.
But you don't feel that until, and it diffuses in a second.
You know, I think that's interesting. It's like just the physical, because what is a hug, right? A hug is, you know, it's a physical connection that says, I love you, I care about you, I'm safe with you, you're safe with me. So instead of words or, you know, it's just, it kind of transcends. I can see how that could diffuse.
So, cool?
It does transcend.
I'm going to digress for 1 second because with the hug thing. And so years ago, I did a workshop and brought in a consultant and basically showed us that with, this has to do with hugs and energy, okay?
Okay.
So if I were to give you a hanger, like a metal hanger, and I had a metal hanger, and we kind of got into our energy field together, you could see how the wires start to move. It's really interesting. Mm. And then you go back and then you hug each other, like a good hug. And the energy field that was a little more distant when you first got together with your hangers, like closed in because the energy from that hug created so much power and so much energy between you, and how just that physical hugging contact created so much energy that the wires we used hangers, doesn't matter what you use, but the metal reacted to the hug and the vibration of that hug, so that
that's very cool. We should try that experiment.
It's beautiful.
Oh, it's amazing, and it's been years since I've done it. I brought it into that was a workshop through work, and I brought it into my work, and I kind of at a retreat I had people do it, and it was crazy. The energy field was this distant, but when you hugged and you did it again, the energy field was like huge.
Wait, now I have got bigger.
If you're at
oh,
work,
yeah.
Oh, so the, like your aura gets bigger. So
yeah,
it grows your aura.
Oh, it grows your aura.
Sorry, like I said it wrong.
Okay,
I'm so sorry. I said it backwards, but it does grow your aura so that there's this huge energy. After
yeah, I have
hug.
Dowsing rods that I did like a little.
And similar.
Where you walk towards someone and you have them think something negative and your rods like barely separate like right when they get to you, and then you have them think a loving thought, and then I would start on the other side of the room.
Oh,
thoughts and you think a loving thought, and as you walk toward, you know, the two rods are like parallel to each other, and they go, wah. Yeah, they both point out, but it's really exactly far away when you're thinking loving thoughts.
But, yeah, so, and same thing thing with the hug.
That's
so
cool.
My point is that hugging and loving can be super powerful.
Well, yeah. and it kind of goes back to like what we're talking about, like vibration and a higher vibration and a higher, you know, just connectedness to source, because that is love, right?
Yeah,
and for sure. So that's isn't it fun when science sort of intersects with woo woo?
Like, I love, you know, quantum,
like, you can measure
so
that.
Yeah,
yeah, so
cool. You can see it, and we should, the four of us should do that as an experiment.
So I'm thinking, so I feel like it's really easy to imagine sort of overcoming ego, like in the example that I just read of dealing with a person, another person in a relationship and breaking the cycle. But I think it's really hard with yourself. When it's just mm-hmm. you and yourself, not you and your husband, you and your friend, you and your coworker, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know what that is. Like, maybe we have to think about ourselves as a second person, like us and our inner child. And maybe we are thinking, why would I want to say anything negative to that cute little girl?
Yeah.
Who's 6 years old and is looking for love and attention. And remembering that yeah. we would never do that. We would always be so nice. And so maybe that's one way to think about how you would deal with ego with it when it's just relating to yourself. I don't know. Do you have other ideas?
I feel like every time I'm not connected, I recognize that it's not serving me. Like, none of my good ideas are coming. None of the positive energy is coming. It's all shut off. And so, especially like when I'm afraid, I think if I would let go, everything that I would be doing, like, what is that quote? Like, everything you do is infused with the energy with which you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I can't remember it exactly, but so if you're calm, life will become calm. If you're happy, life will become happy, whatever. It goes on and on. I love that quote. But my point is that I know it will serve every moment of my life if I just stop the worry, stop the fear, stop. And I feel like everybody has different problems. I don't feel, and I don't want to speak for you guys because we all have different issues and problems. But I don't feel like my problem that I really struggle with is negative talk from the standpoint of like, oh, Kim, I'm really disappointed in you, or you should have tried harder with this, or it's more fearful thoughts like, I don't want anything bad to happen.
Right, but
or
fear is totally ego.
100%.
Oh, that's right. What I'm saying. It's, yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
So
is
that's
my
how
ego
your
problem.
Ego
my
presents.
Ego talks about, like, and I think that goes back to, and I've kind of analyzed myself, well, if I'm fearful, does that mean I'm not trusting myself that I, which I guess is negative self-talk. So there you go. Oh, I do have negative self-talk. No, but I think it's, for me, it comes across as more fear, you know? I don't know. Somebody just fix it for
so
me.
So
how are we going to evolve, like, in the next just, year?
Or in the next 20 minutes?
In the next year?
I know. I keep thinking because I'm going to turn 60 in April. I'm like, okay, I got to, like, quickly, I got, like, a month and a half.
To figure it all out.
It. Well, actually, okay.
But think how much wiser, you know how much wiser you are than when you were 25.
Oh my God,
I mean,
never
oh
want to be 25 again.
And I knew you when you were 20.
You knew me when I was, yeah, yeah. But I will say the joke is when I think of, okay, I have 6 weeks to do this or whatever, I think, really, I do think that's a good way
what,
to think.
What, 6 weeks to get yourself together before oh, come on.
My birthday?
Wait, no. Why did you make this deadline?
I'm not going to actually die. Hopefully. But you know, like when you have like milestones, and I'm not upset about it at all. I actually, like I said, I wouldn't want to be 20 again. But right. Here's my point. The reason I love the deadline, and in case I come in with robes on and stuff on my birthday, you guys will know. Like I feel like I'm like the Dalai Lama all of a sudden.
Okay.
But my point is that what am I waiting for? What are we all waiting for? We all know what we need to do. So it's like, we might as well just do it. We have limited time. Do you know what I mean? We might as well keep trying our best.
Yeah.
I do. You know how you hear
like
all
that,
these
Kim.
Stories? That is great, Kim.
But.
Sorry. No. I started talking over you and that was rude. So But you know how people, you hear the stories about, oh my gosh, they found out they had 6 months to live, blah, 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 mm-hmm. or 6 months, a year, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden they decide to start living.
Or they become really, really great and nice. And yeah. You're like, wow, gosh, it should have been like that all along.
But, you know, I mean, I think.
But I'm not saying I'm not living.
No,
I'm just
you
saying
are
I
living.
Think I could progress faster if I kind of just thought, like, let's just do it. You know what I mean?
I do. And I think that if we were all to adopt that thing that happens when people start actually listening to their heart and not listening to their ego. I mean, I think that's what happens when someone finds out they have limited time.
Oh, I see
right?
what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
What if we all just acknowledged right here now, we do have limited time and
we
don't know when that end yeah. stamp is. So why not lean in towards, you know, whatever makes you feel that joy now, whether it's, you know, the big birthday or, you know, just why not right now?
You know what? I want to high five you for that.
I really like that comment. I loved
so
how
true.
You said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. You know, another thing that I think is, you know, just sometimes we can get so hard on ourselves and we want to do better and we want to be better and we want to evolve spiritually. But it's, I think, one of the things, another lesson that I learned from Sonia Choquette in this Raising Your Vibration book is that a big part of reaching that high vibration is actually lightheartedness. And in addition to that, laughter. Like laughter, you can't be entangled in ego and truly laughing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they can't coincide. And so if you just kind of lean into lightheartedness and I shouldn't say we, but I think all you three, and maybe I could include myself, but we're driven. We want to be successful. We're smart. And that takes some seriousness and some discipline. But I think the bigger lesson is if you have trust and lightheartedness, you can still get there and it can actually be a lot more fun.
Well, that's what we're doing here. We laugh all the time.
I love it.
And it's so fun and it really makes a difference.
It
really helps us find that alignment when you laugh. I mean, it's so great.
Carrie
really
and I were talking about this a little bit when we were at Monique's beforehand, and we were talking about, you know, that whole Abraham Hicks thing where if you're stressed and you want to get to the lightheartedness, basically meaning you want to be in that joyful state and raise your vibration, it's really complicated and a lot of times impossible to go from I'm stressed and worried and I want to laugh now. So it's like that whole thing they teach where you reach for the next best feeling thought. And you keep saying, like, you know, a little bit.
So inch your way there.
You inch your way. Like, say, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, okay, let's say you hate your job and you're like, okay, I really don't like my job. This is not me speaking. I'm making this up. What do I care?
Like, you know, my husband's going to fire me?
I hope he does, okay?
Please.
Please. But on my 16th birthday is what I really want.
Just
but
wait till I'm
16. So I can walk around in robes and be the Dalai Lama. Not work anymore.
But say if, like, you're sitting there and you're like, oh, my God, I hate my job. Well, then you could think, okay, I really am not in a happy place, but at least I have a job.
Yes.
Okay. And so you keep trying to reach. That's what Esther Hicks says. And I think it's realistic because you can't go from 0 to 100 is what she says.
Right, right. You know?
And baby steps. That's true. That's baby helpful steps. Because we can't always, you know, I always go back to contrast, right? And we can't. It's just such a beautiful, wonderful feeling when you really are carefree and trusting and knowing. But it's a lot more fulfilling and just almost tangible to enjoy that when you've been on the opposite end where you're insecure and sad and demotivated and just heavy and, you know, maybe jealous or doubtful. So those feelings, and maybe that's where ego, like to kind of bring it around, maybe that's where that comes into play is to really know this is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to know where you don't want to be.
Yeah.
that's a, maybe that is how, what we can thank Mr. Ego for, is just a driver towards the light.
Well, and don't you think, I know we've all had some pretty bad things happen in our life, and I think if I was hooked up to a lie detector test, just say hypothetically, and I had a big strobe light on me, and they said, what are you most grateful for in your life? Some of the things I'd be most grateful for were the worst experiences I had. I didn't realize it at the time, but I'm a better person and a happier person.
See, that's an evolved comment, because a lot of people would not feel that way.
Yeah, but that's also some of the stuff maybe happened 20 years ago, so I've had some time to noodle on it.
You know, I just am thinking about this based on what you said, Jennifer. I'm going to digress a little bit, but as far as laughter and us, you know, our friendships and what we all come together with and our shared thoughts and our connections. And I think one thing I would say for those listening is that it took me a really long time to realize in life that I don't have to be friends with everybody. I don't have to hold on to friendships that don't.
We're all nodding. Well. We're all like,
yep.
Yeah. And so I love you guys. I love all of you so much for so many reasons. And it's awesome to be able to find friends who are like-minded and who share these connections, and to be able to say, it's not that I don't like certain people from my past, you know, who have been friends in my past, but that served me for a period of time. And now I can, it's just kind of freeing to find people who you have commonality with, that you have shared thoughts with, that you can laugh with and have fun with and want to be with.
Totally.
And so I appreciate all of you for that so much. And I just will say that it took me a long time in my life to get to the point where I felt like, okay, I don't have to hold on.
Like it was okay to feel
that way. It's okay to let go of friendships that don't serve. It's not that I wish anybody ill will.
It's not a judgment.
No.
Well, and it's not like you're fighting with anybody. You just are like closer to other people. Yes. What you're saying.
Yeah. Sometimes your vibrations just aren't in alignment with other people, and that's just okay.
And it just and sometimes it takes time to find that, but my point
is kind of like maybe we all, at least I know I used to really be a people pleaser, and I remember there was a podcast we were talking where somebody, you were saying with your client, you know, like, oh, maybe you can't do that in a certain time frame. And we were like, wow, you can actually say no to things. Like, we were like, wow, huh, that's a sentence. Like, I don't think I'm going to do that. What? Is there a period at the end or a question mark? Like, I don't even know. I we never say that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's a
right
disease.
Away.
Women have the disease of people pleasing.
I know.
And I think it's okay just to, you know, as long as you're not coming from an ego place of judgment, that you are just aligning with what aligns to you and what serves you and how you can serve other people, because it has to feel like a two-way exchange of energy. And in some cases, that just isn't there.
No,
and that's okay, and that doesn't mean it's no judgment. It just isn't.
It is what it is.
Right. It is what it is. Loving what is.
Yes. Loving what is. I agree with that. And I do have to echo you, Monique, that, you know, when we're together, it's magical, and I am uplifted, and my soul is light, and I feel like I belong, but I also feel like I see each one of you, and just as gratifying, I feel seen, which is the best feeling in the world. It really is great. And to kind of add to that, I think a season for a reason. And I think it's not selfish to think about how you feel when you're with people or how you feel when you're after them. And if it's draining, it's okay to go into another direction. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, something I read somewhere where it is always okay to put your oxygen mask on first. And that oxygen mask is, what kind of energy are the people you choose to spend your precious time with giving off, right? And, you know, so.
That's a great way of saying it.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of chose to do this as a podcast because maybe there are other people who are like-minded, who are like us, and we don't know them yet, but maybe we can spread our laughter and our good vibration that we have with each other to, you know, include other people in it too.
Well, and I always feel like when I'm at a party or a bar, this is a very spiritual statement. And I mean, how do I say this without sounding obnoxious? You know, we all, and I'm sure everybody listening, we have a lot of different kind of friends, right? And love them all. But what I always want to do is I always want to sit at either at the party or the restaurant or the bar or whatever and have a deep conversation. Like, that's what I always, I'm not so into chit chat. I don't want to talk about the weather. I don't want to talk about really like your sweatshirt. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking across the table at Monique. But, I mean, I do, but I'm just saying. But, you know, I'd rather like someone to say something where I go, really? Tell me about that. Like, how did that feel? Like, I love that kind of stuff.
Do you know what that is? Do you know what you're doing?
What am I doing?
You are asking questions to really see someone's soul.
Yeah.
And see their higher spirit. And you're looking and you're curious and you're asking and you're listening. And that is super rewarding to do. And I think to be the recipient of, like, to be heard.
You should be a bartender. That's what
they do. I've always said that, except I drink too much. See, if I've analyzed this, then we'd be behind the bar all day long. We'd probably drink too much, so we can't do that. I had to take my glasses off since they were steaming up. That's how bad my hot flash is right now. God. What was I going to say? Oh, what you were talking about, seeing another. There is a quote in The Course in Miracles, like the moment that you become, what do they call you? Let's say the moment you know that you're on your spiritual path, okay? That's not how they word it. But is the second you see yourself in another. And so, you know what I mean? The difference is you look into that person's eyes. They are no longer a human. They're a soul. And you see yourself as an equal. And not just an equal. That's not the right word. You care about them as much as you care about you. You know,
that's
and you
what
have
I'm
a connection.
Saying when you asked me what my lesson was. Yeah, I think that's right. That's big. If we could all do that, we would overcome a lot of the world issues, wouldn't we?
I totally think we would. And I have one question for you guys, okay, quickly. Have any of you thought about when you feel that your ego is taking over? I learned this spiritual practice. You pretend like you're in a movie and you're watching yourself on the screen. And it's like, oh, Monique. No, I'm just going to use you, Monique. Monique is now freaking out and really mad at her husband. What will she do in the next scene? Will she A, calm down and hug him? Just an idea. Or B, yell at him? But what I'm saying is if we think in our minds, like, this helps me when I go, okay, Kim, this is not an easy thing. You have to call this client. You have to do this. You're stressed about this. You're worried about that. What are you going to do? But if I pretend others, like say my spirit guides or my relatives are watching me, it's like I'm imagining my Grandma Lily going to my Aunt Rose. Wow, I'm really proud of her. Did you see how she handled that? She screamed and shit. And I'm not even joking. Like, I feel like I get inspiration from that. Have you guys ever done this? Have you ever read about it? It really, I feel like... What?
No, I've never played like a movie,
but
I understand that that's a cool idea. But it's the same idea of stepping out, and being able to separate yourself from your thoughts and your actions and say that's not me and what am I doing and do I want to direct the scene differently?
Okay,
if you want to call it.
Well, I feel like it helps me to watch myself is what I'm saying.
And I've read that if you are very very spiritually aligned, really it's kind of a B movie.
Wait, you mean because you're doing so well, nothing
because
exciting
it's not
happening?
Like that dramatic to watch as a movie. You know what I mean? Because your life is like a B movie. Like, you haven't created like the drama of screaming at people and having fights and doing
don't
crazy
like
things.
The older you get, the less you do that anyway.
Yeah, but isn't that interesting that they compare like a spiritually led life to a B movie?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. That is interesting.
It makes it sound boring, though.
And I do.
I know, and it's not boring.
It's just maybe it's just real. But I get what you're saying. And the only reason I was laughing with you, not at you, first of all.
All right.
And the only reason I was laughing is because when you like imitate your relatives, you get some funny accent and you kind of talk out of the corner, the corner of your mouth.
Apparently, that's how they talk in northern Wisconsin. But they don't. I don't even know
so,
why.
So anyway, laughing with you, never all at right. you. But, you know, so just thinking about vibes, and, you know, we talked about ego a lot, and I always like to make sure that the scale is balanced between, like, you know, more positive than negative, right? So okay. if we want to land on the spirit and the higher self and what does that mean and what can we do with that, another thing that I read is that, you know, just to think about, like, what kind of impact we can make just by being lighthearted and yeah. loving and at just an open, compassionate vibration is the more light vibes that you put out into the world, they amplify and they multiply and they return to you. And there's some spiritual law that says you actually receive 10 times the high vibration that you put out into the universe.
Wow. Did Sonia tell you that? I love
Sonia
that.
Choquette said
yeah,
that.
I like her. I love her. Well, I think the other way.
I love that, Carrie.
How do we get to that lightness?
Yeah.
I think it's really connecting to spirit. And that's through meditation and through stillness, whatever we can do, connecting to, and prayer. I think mm-hmm. prayer is different than meditation. We've talked about that a lot, but I think that that helps too. And finding little ways to do this, those things that bring you joy. Yes. And when you are in joy, you are in alignment mm-hmm. and you are connecting with your higher self. Don't you think?
I absolutely do.
I have a nice quote to sing us out. That has to do, unless anybody, I'm not going to sing it. It's only one sentence.
Wait a minute. I did read somewhere that when you sing, spirit really likes it.
Okay, Carrie could sing it. I cannot sing.
No, but you said sing. Okay, say it.
So here's the quote. I don't know who wrote it, but the quote is, this, and before I say it, I want to say I'm not saying this about myself. I'm saying this for all of us and anybody listening. Okay, but I do have it in my office and in my house.
Okay.
Okay. I love the person I've become because I fought to become her. Love
yeah, it. That's great. Yeah,
that's powerful. It.
And it's true. Think of all the shit we've all gone through to just get to where we are.
Okay, but I mean? could we maybe substitute fought with surrendered?
Oh, what? That's so much
say
better.
It again.
Yeah.
Oh,
and change thought.
Now
to
I'm
surrender.
Gonna put. I'm gonna change it to surrender, and then I'm gonna
okay,
put
now just
the
re-read
person
it.
Who wrote it as you. I love the person I've become because I surrendered to become her. That is brilliant.
I like that.
That is so much better and powerful and true.
Yeah, because fought is ego-based
yes,
and surrender
exactly.
is spirit-based.
But I will what? Say when I think of the word fought, first of all, I didn't write it. But I also feel like I didn't think of it as like a fearful thing. I thought of it as every day to get up and meditate and drink your water and try to like read mantras and spiritual quotes and all these things. I don't want to say it's a fight, but it's, and I don't want to say it's work, but it's a choice. And it is something you have to do to be in a higher
takes
vibration.
Effort.
It takes effort. That's yes. what I would say. Right. But fought is not the best word.
Right.
Yeah. Well, now I have to re-give the quote to all my friends in Weight Watchers.
That's okay. They'll appreciate it.
Well, this has been a great conversation.
Yeah, it has.
Agree.
Thank you. I learned a lot. Love you guys.
Yeah, love you too.
Good talk.